Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the Minnesota National Guard's Prevention, Treatment, and Outreach Program for Substance Abuse, and we'll meet Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber and hear his inspirational story of service, sacrifice, and courage as he faces his own death. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Throughout the summer, the Minnesota Twins are working with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon to recognize companies that go above and beyond in hiring veterans and supporting their employees who served in the armed forces. Already this summer, five companies have been recognized at home plate during the pregame event at Target Field. I'd like to recognize them here on Minnesota Military Radio as well. Target was among the first companies to be designated a Minnesota Yellow Ribbon Corporation. They take care of their military employees and their families time and time again. Best Buy's Geek Squad is a founding partner of the White House Joining Forces program, helping to teach military families at bases around the country how to stay connected through technology. They've helped us with technology here in Minnesota during Serving Our Troops events. U.S. Bank has unveiled a new veteran hiring initiative. Through their Proud to Serve program, U.S. Bank is committed to hiring 1,000 veterans by the end of 2013. United Health Group has committed to hiring more military spouses and veterans. They understand that military families offer corporate America the valued skills of leadership, decision-making, adaptability, and reliability. In addition to large corporate employers, small and medium-sized businesses have impressed us with their conviction to employ and take care of military families. Case in point, the Roseville Police Department exhibited extraordinary commitment to one of their officers during her recent deployment. Officer Aaron Reske is also a Sergeant First Class in the Minnesota Army National Guard and recently returned from a 9-month deployment to Kuwait. From the moment of deployment notification through reintegration, she was supported by the entire department. From the chief of police to her colleagues, they sent her care packages, they took care of her home while she was gone, and they welcomed her back to her position as a police officer. I look forward to the Minnesota Twins' recognition of more companies hiring and supporting veterans as the summer continues.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Sergeant First Class Christine Dawson, who is the Minnesota National Guard Prevention Coordinator. Sergeant Dawson, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Good morning.
I understand you've been in the service for a few years.
A few years, yes. Just about 30.
And where did your career start?
Well, my career started in the United States Marine Corps, where I did 17 years. After the 17 years, because of promotions and some downsizing, I returned to the state of Minnesota, where I was working as a corrections treatment therapist at the St. Cloud Prison. And quite a few gentlemen that I worked with there were in the National Guard and got to talking. And next thing you know, I was signing up for the Guard, and here I am almost 30 years later.
So from the United States Marine Corps to the Minnesota National Guard, that's quite a change.
Absolutely. It's been a wonderful change, though.
I also understand that you've been a licensed alcohol and drug counselor for about 20 years.
I have been, yes.
And that has to put you in a great position to become the Minnesota National Guard's prevention coordinator.
I believe that my experience helped me out with this position, absolutely.
Sergeant Dawson, can you tell us about the Prevention, Treatment, and Outreach Program created by the National Guard Bureau?
Sure. Actually, it was a joint effort with the National Guard Bureau and a federal organization called SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration Services. And recognizing that we didn't have a lot of options or a lot of resources for National Guard members, they put the Prevention, Treatment, and Outreach Program together for a couple of reasons. Number one, obviously to do prevention and education. We know that prevention efforts can really help in people not only returning from deployments, but people who are in the military service having, going away and having military issues with their substance abuse issues. And we know that doing prevention and education can help lower the rates that that we are seeing. The other piece of that was to also make sure that we include the family members and that we can do prevention and education with family members, with adolescent children. On the treatment side, it was mostly pointed at an effort to make sure that if people were in trouble with substance abuse or having difficulty, that they were able to get the right treatment resources and so to speak, pointed in the right direction. Sometimes it's difficult to try to find your way through the insurance, and particularly with TRICARE, to find resources that fit the insurance and fit your needs. So to have one person that is familiar with, what's out there and available in the States, and a person that's actually made some contacts with the treating facilities, and then to be able to hand carry, if you would, the soldier to that facility to get them the treatment they need, it's actually been wonderful, and we've had a lot of good results. And then the outreach piece is to make sure that we are well connected in the community and know what resources are available, and also to form collaborations with community organizations. The state of Minnesota has a lot of civilian prevention coordinators. They actually have 8 in the state in regional areas, and we've been able to work a lot with their prevention efforts in the communities where we have armories. So that's a little bit about the Prevention, Treatment, and Outreach Program. It's been up and running since 2005. And the state of Minnesota has had the program since 2008.
We're speaking with Sergeant First Class Christine Dawson, the Minnesota National Guard Prevention Coordinator, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Dawson, with the Minnesota National Guard, we have citizen soldiers, and they spend, when they're not deployed, they spend most of their time working for civilian employers, and then we see them one weekend a month and in the summer and before, during, and after deployments. Does that prevent a unique situation? We've got about a minute, and we have to take a break.
It actually does prevent a unique situation because we don't see them very often. Leadership and people that they work with in the Guard may not always know when there's a problem occurring. So we have to pay a little bit more of attention and need to know what's going on with them in their civilian community.
All right. Thanks, Sergeant Dawson. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more with First Sergeant First Class Christine Dawson for the Minnesota National Guard Prevention Coordinator on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're speaking with Sergeant First Class Christine Dawson, who is the Minnesota National Guard's Prevention Coordinator, and we're going to continue with that discussion in just a moment. But now it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
We have a project that's happening in our State Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls that I'd like to talk about today. The project is called Looking to the Past, Present, and Future, a Veterans Educational Historic Project. 2.5 years ago, a small veterans organization, the Minnesota State Veterans Memorial Association in Central Minnesota, commissioned a series of paintings, 5 exactly, each depicting a branch of the military. Each painting will be a towering 8 by 10 foot and hanging in our committal hall at the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery north of Little Falls, Minnesota. Artist Charles Kastner was selected for the project and completed the Army painting, which was the first of 5 to be done and is currently on display at the State Veterans Cemetery. This initiative recognizes our veterans throughout the year and most importantly, serves as a way to educate the broader public as to what veterans sacrifice to protect freedom. The project's imagery focuses on the women and men of the military, not a particular battle or war. The artist uses live models, many of whom have military experience.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Now back to Sergeant First Class Christine Dawson. Sergeant Dawson, I'm curious, is substance abuse in the military more prevalent than in our general population?
Well, I'm not sure that it's more prevalent. I know that there are statistics out there that say there definitely are some issues in the military. I think that particularly with the deployment tempo these days, that there are a lot more stressors, and we do find that people are using alcohol more frequently and, unfortunately, sometimes illegal drugs. So I would say that in regards to the general population, we probably do have a slighter increase of substance abuse issues. Part of that, though, I think, is because we do such a good job of catching it and taking care of our people as soon as something comes up, whereas in the civilian community, if I'm working for an employer and I get a DUI, nobody's really going to bat an eyelash at it. They may not even know that I have it. So I think that there is, but I think part of that is because we really, really do a good job of taking care of our soldiers.
So are you seeing that the multiple deployments over the last 10 years has caused some increased problems?
Yes, I believe that it has. And part of that has to do with other issues such as mental health, maybe post-traumatic stress symptoms, post-traumatic stress disorder, maybe some depression and anxiety. And again, I think because we do such a good job of educating our soldiers and our leadership about what those things look like, we might catch it a little earlier than if someone was just in the civilian community. So I'm not sure that we actually have more that goes on when it comes to mental health and substance abuse. I just think we do a better job of identifying it early on.
So if one of our National Guard soldiers or airmen think that they might be drinking too much or their family members start to question how much they're drinking, what steps should they take?
Well, the first step in all of that is recognition. And the National Guard, especially in the state of Minnesota, the leadership here is adamant about supporting and getting the people in the right direction and getting them the help. First step would be to contact your leadership. They can put you in touch with our organization, with Deployment Cycle Support, where my office is out of. We have family advocates. They can put you in touch with a chaplain. They could simply go online and look for an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Treatment can be a little bit more difficult to navigate. Sometimes people are afraid to come forward because they're afraid of the repercussions in the military. They're also welcome to call our line and anonymously ask for help. We encourage family members to call if they have questions. And the other thing is if there's a family member that has an issue, we'd be happy to help them get pointed in the right direction and get the care that they need.
So, Sergeant Dawson, in addition to drug or alcohol dependencies, are there some mental health needs that are covered by your program?
There are. My program does not do anything with assessments of mental health needs, but we do have lots of relationships with mental health providers, and we do have mental health providers that work in Deployment Cycle Support Office in Cottage Grove, so we can at least get them a referral and give them the support that they need through the process.
And as we finish up, can you tell us, is there a list of resources available for service members across the state?
There is a list of resources. If you go to the Yellow Ribbon website, under Deployment Cycle Support and under the Prevention, Treatment, and Outreach Program, they can find a list of state resources and federal and national resources as well.
All right, Sergeant Dawson, any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, I thank you so much for your time, and I really appreciate it. I think the most important thing is that we get the word out and let people know that we're here for them, that we care about them, and we're going to support them in any way we can.
Thanks for joining us today and for almost 30 years of service to our country.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was Sergeant First Class Christine Dawson, the Minnesota National Guard's Prevention Coordinator on Minnesota Military Radio. Here are a few events happening around the state. Albert Lee's Yellow Ribbon Network will be hosting their Freedom Festival on Saturday, June 30th. It will be at Edgewater Park and will have live entertainment, children's activities, food, drink, and much more. And, special announcement, the Southwest Twin Cities Yellow Ribbon Coalition, which will include Edina, Excelsior, Hopkins, Minnetonka, St. Louis Park, and Wayzata, will be holding their first information and organizational meeting on Thursday, June 28th, at the Edina Senior Center. For more information about both these events, visit us at facebook.com/Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is Specialist Richard Leonard of Woodbury. Leonard recently returned from his second tour in Iraq and Kuwait, where he was also deployed from 2005 to 2007. As an infantryman, he provided security and ensured the proper operation for a zone camp at the housing for up to 3,500 service members and civilian contractors. Leonard has previous experience providing support to fellow veterans while working in a congressional office. Specialist Leonard's goal is to continue his work with veterans while he is enrolled at Metro State with a double major in law enforcement and criminal justice. Leonard and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Leonard, contact the Ramsey County Workforce Center at 651-779-5407. That's 651-779-5407. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll meet Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber and hear his inspirational story of service, sacrifice, and courage as he faces his final battle. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Last week, several hundred people gathered at the Minnesota History Center, not so much to celebrate Father's Day or the Army's 237th birthday, but to hear one man speak. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, and he is dying. Here he is now.
Good evening, Secretary Ritchie, the Honorable Mr. Sieben, General Nash, General Leutold, Command Sergeant Major Kahlberg, and then I'd like to welcome a very special guest, Brigadier General retired Chris Anstey and his wife, Kath, who flew all the way from Australia specifically for this event. He came in, was socked in Chicago, flew into the airport and came straight here. And so with your indulgence, I speak Australian and I would like to welcome them in their native tongue. Mate, what on earth were you thinking? Haven't you heard of the telly? You could have bought us a bloody 62-inch LCD for the price of the plane tickets. He says he's glad to be here. On the list of attendees, I see comrades that date all the way back to the beginning of my service in the Army, all the way up to folks that I have here on my current medical team. So all of you, family and friends, thank you all for coming tonight and sharing in this celebration of the Army's birthday. Now, before I begin, I'd like to introduce another person I brought with me tonight. If I don't introduce him, he's just going to bounce up and down behind me until I do. And based on the guest list, I know over half of you are here because of him and our relationship together. His name is Buford, and he's uninvited, and he goes wherever I go. Buford is stage 4 cancer. He's inoperable, and I found out just 2 weeks ago that the chemo that's been keeping him pinned down is no longer working. Buford carries a whole tackle box of goodies that keeps life interesting for me, my wife, and my boys. The massive surgery to remove Buford did not work. Left me with about 17 tumors in my liver and internal anatomy that no longer resembles the human design. The remaining half of my liver requires a catheter to work. I've got a small bullet hole in my stomach that I can stick my finger into. I've got permanent drainage tubes hanging out of my side, and I just recently had a feeding tube removed after about 4 months with no food. No, that is not fun. Buford produces a smell that can only be described as unholy and is perhaps a biohazard. So be forewarned if you want to come say hi to me. The infections that I get once or twice per month are oftentimes deadlier than the cancer because the best defense that I have is my immune system, and it's weakened by the chemo that I have to take. In the interest of time, I'm just going to stop there with the introduction of Buford and have him take a seat in the back row where he belongs, with your permission. So today, I have the fortunate task of speaking for the Army on her 237th birthday. I've been in the Army for 23 years now, and I've seen a lot of Army birthday addresses. Many of them focus on the past, the distant past. And I say that not as a criticism, but as a kind of invitation or a permission to focus this year on the present. For we are no longer the army that secured our independence, or prevented it from being torn apart, or who went across the sea to help our neighbors and help prevent them from certain extinction. Today, we are an army that has served our nation way beyond those humbler goals of our yesteryear. Today is not an address about the virtue of those choices, but about recognizing that our soldiers serve and sacrifice for those choices, whether they agree with them or not. Period. Now, a wise man once wrote about birthdays that every 10 years or so, a person should give himself a good kick in the pants. And this is another way of saying be humble about what you've done with your life. In this case, the Army's life. And given the fact that we've been an Army that's been at war for about 10 years, his choice of words are pretty good, I think. Now, I don't think any set of remarks should begin without some humor. Certainly not for me. And I've got one for you on the issue of humility that I think senior leaders of any stripe, military or civilian, must keep in mind, must keep a firm grip upon as they go about the task of taking care of our soldiers. A pompous new general had just moved into his office. He was doing some routine paperwork on his desk when suddenly he heard a knock at the door, and it was a private. And feeling that it was important to set the proper tone for his rank and for his position, he invited the private to enter and then quickly picked up the phone and spoke out loud, "Yes, Senator, I'll be seeing him this afternoon and I'll be sure to pass along your message. In the meantime, thank you for your well wishes, sir." He hung up the phone and proudly looked up at the private and he said, "Well, what can I do for you, soldier?" And the soldier looked out at him and he said, "Well, actually nothing, sir. I'm just here to hook up your telephone." So humility, yes, a good thing. And what good is a birthday without gifts, right? It's a birthday. We got to have gifts. So I'm going to talk about some birthday gift ideas for you. So a focus on today's soldiers, a good kick in the pants, and then some birthday gifts that you may want to consider. So to start with, today's soldiers. When the politicians finish talking, when the debate has ceased, when negotiations have failed, and orders are given, it is today's volunteer soldier that carries out and executes our national policy for the last several hundred meters to the objective. We all live in an ever-shrinking world where the means of destruction from a determined enemy mean more and demand more. That shrinking world has placed a demand on our soldiers to adapt to missions that call upon them to be scholars and teachers, bankers and farmers, social workers and diplomats, and then warriors, oftentimes in the same day or even at the same time, regardless of their occupational background or training. Some of our soldiers negotiate disagreements amongst social complexities that are stickier than the Hatfields and McCoys with cell phones and modern weapons. Nothing is typical, and little is predictable in these environments. Some call it the three-block war. On the first block, our soldiers are engaged in vicious combat. On the second block, our soldiers are engaged in helping local policemen and native soldiers provide for their own security and defense. And on the third block, soldiers are engaged in helping the local citizenry build water wells or develop sustainable farming practices or set up schools. And they do this all simultaneously. In the Army, we call such conditions the fog of war. And today's conflicts bring that fog of war to an entire new level. Never before in our nation's history, never before in our nation's history has so much been asked of so few Americans. Behind all of this, I have personally seen and experienced soldiers who struggle to find the words to discuss with their spouses and their children back home for how and why their service and sacrifice is a good thing for them and for their families. How? Why? I find myself partial to the words of General Dempsey and his answer. Because that's who we are. That's who we must be, and that's who we will be.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be back in a moment with more from Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. If you're just now joining us, we're listening to Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber's Army birthday address given at the Minnesota History Center last week. Colonel Weber, once handpicked by General Petraeus for the war in Afghanistan, now battles stage 4 liver cancer. In his own words, here is Colonel Weber.
Now, humility, or that kick in the pants. I think humility is a necessary filter of sorts for gift givers or gift recipients on a birthday like today. Too many people think that humility is about avoiding pride or shunning achievement. In fact, a lack of humility exists when there's not enough modesty or there is too much pride. Humility is all about maintaining a pride for who we are, what we have achieved, and what we're worth. It can even be aggressive, but it does all of these things without arrogance. What do I mean? For example, a humble soldier recognizes that he can do nothing on his own. Humble soldiers find it hard to boast because we recognize that behind that laundry list of impossible tasks that I just mentioned, we do many of them imperfectly, and sometimes we do them poorly, despite the high recommendations and awards that we receive from our superiors. A humble soldier recognizes that the service and the sacrifice that I just described is something that she signed up for, and it's something that she should be proud of. And when she is asked to do the impossible, asked to do what others cannot do or do not do, that's what she should be proud of. It takes humility for senior leaders to ask the question, how am I doing? And even more humility to listen and take full consideration of the answers that they receive. And finally, there is nothing morally superior about the soldier. Please don't put us on that pedestal, and don't ever let soldiers put themselves there. Humility. Now on to gifts. On the gift ideas, what do you get that soldier who's got everything, right? I've got 4 ideas for you. Gift number 1 is an idea for all senior leaders. Military or civilian, doesn't matter. I don't know anyone who wants to be that senior leader that I described in that joke. And yet there's a very good likelihood that you either know someone who's like that or you're unaware that you are someone like that. So, the gift suggestion is this. Care for our soldiers, but be humble in how you provide that care and be humble in how you receive the thanks for that care. After all, as senior leaders, we exist to take care of soldiers. Big issues like PDMRA, which I know none of you knows what that is, but it's a big deal. They are great, and they grab headlines, and they can be easily referenced in public remarks. They are a good thing. But you won't get a lot of credit for that phone call or that email of support offering your best wishes, and only a few people will know. So that's one hell of a gift. Gift idea number 2 is an idea for everyone. Meet a soldier in the middle. Now, what do I mean by that? If you can give more, great. But don't ever accept less from a soldier. Resolve that soldiers volunteer to serve and to sacrifice. Take personal interest in us. Take care of us and our families. But please be careful not to relieve us of the very virtues that make us who we are. Where is that line? I won't say. I'll merely offer that I think the right balance is somewhere in the middle. That we help those who help themselves. That your level of effort and ours match. Hold our soldiers accountable for who and what we are. Communities willing to help, but soldiers and families willing to reach out for that help. and being grateful for the help that's provided. Gift number three is one that never gets old, making the distinction between us and the conflicts that we serve. The millions of men and women who have served this nation in the past 10 years alone, they volunteer to serve for many reasons, but not one of them, not one, gets to decide which cause or war they want to support. They joined a profession that is dedicated to serving our nation's civilian leadership, and by extension, that's you. And we do this because that's who we are. It means that you understand that you can support us even if you don't support the work that we're called upon to perform. And lastly, gift idea number four is probably the nicest gift that you can give to any soldier. Say thank you with your actions. Not everyone can be a soldier, and actually we don't have enough room for everybody to be a soldier. So the gift you can give is to live each of your days with respect for the freedoms that we hold and keep on your behalf. How can you do that? Live your life with integrity and honor. Be a proud American, but be a humble American. Work hard to keep America strong. When you've got a chance to take a penny or leave a penny, leave a penny. When you disagree, as we all inevitably will, with politics and religion in particular, please don't spite or make an enemy out of your neighbor just to bolster your position. And finally, and this relates to the one I just said, don't be a bully, because we get sent abroad to take care of bullies. So that's the gift idea. So there you have it. Today's soldiers, a little kick in the pants, some gift ideas for that birthday soldier in your life. I know there's some strong opinion mixed into my remarks, and there's just no way that I can dedicate the amount of time that needs to be given to give a full accounting for each one of those things that I talked about. I just can't do it. So it shouldn't go without saying that I offer my ideas, my thoughts, with great humility. I am just one man's opinion. Now, in closing, I'd like to offer a bit of perspective. One of the biggest things my buddy Buford has taught me about how we tick, I've heard repeatedly over the past year how being a soldier is why and how I've been so willing and able to deal with Buford, my Buford, so effectively, that they could never do what I've done and they could never carry on the way that I have. That bothers me, and here's why. Because first of all, we all have Bufords. Mine happens to be 6'10", 700 pounds, but the methods for dealing with Buford don't depend on weight class or your occupation. Now, I don't have the time here tonight to convince you that it does not take a soldier to deal with the Bufords in your life. In my opinion, dealing with Buford takes perspective, personal courage, perseverance, and an occasional middle finger. Those skills are not unique to soldiers. The potential for exercising each of them is within every single one of you. Now, what is unique to soldiers is that we face some fairly large and uniquely sized Bufords on a regular basis. So if you can manage to hold your gaze upon a soldier, you might just learn something about what you are capable of doing. In fact, I can just about guarantee that you will unquestionably struggle much less with your own Buford. And perhaps that's the gift that you all get on the Army's birthday. If you want it. You're welcome. Now, I hate to sound morbid, but if you feel a chill in the air, it's because I've got another uninvited guest sitting in the back row. I don't know if some of you could hear him, but he's been impatiently tapping his feet against the floor this whole time. He does it to me all the time. His name is Death. And I mention him because I see him and I hear him at least once a month. And he whispers something in my ear that I'd like to pass along to each of you. And he says, live, because I am coming. So my great thanks again to AUSA and Kirk Cooper for the invitation to speak to you all tonight. Thank you.
To watch the video of this powerful address in its entirety, visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I listen to Lieutenant Colonel Weber, I'm reminded of the millions of American troops who have repeatedly gone into battle, knowing that they might not come back alive, and yet they saddle up and go. They volunteer to serve our country and risk their lives to protect our way of life, and their families sacrifice to support them on their missions. Colonel Weber is showing us all how to face the end of life with honor, dignity, and tremendous courage. He has been forced to look at his life, where he has been, who he has touched, and how he'd like to be remembered. As I reflect on this story, I'm reminded of a poem by Linda Ellis entitled The Dash that I have often read at times like this in order to assess where I have been and where I am going. The poem addresses a scene that we have all encountered when we visit a cemetery, look at the headstones, and see a name, date of birth, and date of death. In between the dates is a dash that represents our lives and gives us something powerful to think about. Here's the poem, The Dash, by Linda Ellis. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all of the time that she spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved her know what that little line was worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger, and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect, and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things that they say about how you spent your dash? This is Tom Lyons, and I hope that when you think about your dash, you will find a way to make a difference in someone's life this week. Thank you for listening to Minnesota Military Radio. As we leave you today, here is Lieutenant Colonel Weber and his son, singing the Civil War era song, Tell My Father.
Tell my father that his son didn't run or surrender. That I bore his name with pride as I tried to remember. You are judged by what you do while passing through.